So many of our segments, by the way, start with like the most abrupt and random, like, oh, hi, welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with these weirdos that I keep because they're amazing, Kavi and Benjamin. By the way, again, I did a little post today, but I am so grateful for what you bring to the show and what the three of us together have been able to pull off in, you know, only in a half a year. I mean, we've really grown this, and I am so excited for 2023 to see like how this is going to continue to grow and develop. And so, so the year of 2022 was awesome. And 2023, I think we just have so much to look forward to. And like I teased in the last segment, one of the things I am personally very much looking forward to, and heck, I would even still maybe do a quick impromptu pull my trailer down to Texas for Starship launch. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That monstrosity. That's huge.
Not just the launch, but well, if all the paperwork and permissions get cleared, possibly its first orbital flight as well. It's going to go, it's going to make a lap.
So how awesome would that be? A crew on that?
No.
Well, but they, I mean, they have, they're saying the Dear Moon is supposed to go in 2024.
Yeah, but I wouldn't, considering Starship hasn't had a, what do you call it? A landing? A
spontaneous rapid disassembly.
Since it hasn't had one of those, I don't think they're going to put a person on it yet. I think they need this successful launch. Actually, the launching has not been a problem either. They do the launching. Great. And the hovering. It's just phenomenal.
It's the
landing they got to stick. But this, it's supposedly later this year, summertime or fall, Starship's going up. And it's going to go around the Earth in space. And it's going to come back. And all things, if all things go according to plan...
It comes back without a rapid disassembly.
If it comes back, it's going to be the space age is going to be completely reinvigorated. It's going to be
yes. I was going to say they are also notorious for not really keeping. Like, I know people who work for SpaceX, and it's very lock and key what they can talk about. And mm-hmm. so they have been very quiet about Starship for a while now.
Yes.
And so you have to assume that, you know, things are being planned for how are we going to stick this landing? How are we going to do it? Like, there's absolutely no way that they've been quiet for this long. I know that some of it, yes, is because of the paperwork and they need to figure out rules and regulations with the FAA and stuff. But in that time, there is absolutely no possible way that there aren't some of the most brilliant minds in engineering mm-hmm. at work to troubleshooting what went wrong with mm-hmm. all the other attempts and how are we going to get it right? And that is completely out of my spectrum of even imagination of what it is. Cause right now I'm just like, I don't see it, but who knows?
Towards the end of last year, they did a full burn test on all mm-hmm. the engines for Starship.
Mm-hmm. I did see that.
It went perfectly without a hitch. And that's, you know, good news. And it's also, as much as they try to keep things secret, as they should, and it's good that they are working on some of the most massive rockets being built and used and tested in the world today, and top of which they have what, Cranezilla, the biggest crane in the world, ready to help stand it up and move it around. So it's as they do things on their launch pad, which is right next to a nice small Texas town, people can see it. So they're being very selective, I think, of how many trips they make out to Starship and start working on it. So it's pretty awesome. I can't wait.
It is. Well, I mean, it's just frustrating for people who say like live in the Midwest and want to maybe watch this monster launch and you only get about a 48-hour heads up. You know, I'm just saying it's, you know, it is what it is. I mean, obviously if they're when they're ready to start sending people, they're not going to be able to have these. Oh, we're doing it in 3 days kind of thing that they've been doing right now. But I would love to just I would love to see that one. That would be. I mean, I really wanted to see SLS, but I really want to see Starship because that's like reinventing the wheel. Mm-hmm. You know, SLS had so many elements of it. It looked a little bit like the Saturn V.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it had rockets that were used by the shuttles. You know, mm-hmm. it was sort of like, okay, yeah, I know what this is. But SLS is like, or not SLS, I'm sorry, Starship is.
Starship.
Whole other.
Totally yeah. new.
Starship, formerly totally known as new. BFR.
Right. I shared an image online, what, a year or two years ago? Just scale images of Starship right next to a shuttle standing on the launch pad with the boosters and the fuel tank mm-hmm. and everything. It's the same size. You can care, and the Starship part of that size is not the fuel tank. It doesn't need one. It has one inside itself. Mm-hmm. And to try to imagine something as big as a shuttle with its boosters and its fuel tank as that big, being able to take off by itself and hover
and land
and come back down and be used again entirely with no waste apart from the fuel. The size of it alone is amazing. Mm-hmm. The amount of crew they can carry, the cargo they can carry, the options are going to be insane.
This whole idea as well that they will be able to send up the boosters of the starships. I don't know if they're still planning on doing that. And then connecting them in space to do refueling.
Mm-hmm. So crazy.
Like, if that actually happens, that's wild. Absolutely wild.
This makes me think of... I shouldn't know so many SpongeBob references, but I do because I had you younger sisters. They're significantly, but you know, there's that part where like Squidward's like future, like that's what we're all doing right now, like future, and it's again, I keep thinking about this like communications aspect of being in these moments of time. Like we often don't know we're in a revolution until that revolution has passed, and then you're out of it, and then you're like, whoa, that was a huge turning point. And so it does definitely, because it, even my own children, to them, rockets that can re-land is a thing. It's normal. It's a thing. Right?
Been a thing, yeah.
Right? And
they've been doing it forever.
right? It just, for them, yeah, it's been their whole lives. And what you're saying to this refueling in space, like the concept of like a refuel station in outer space, say to get to Mars. What? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, I don't know. It's just a really exciting time to be involved in the space industry because truly, I mean, we haven't gone back to the moon and now we are. Like, it's such a cool time to be.
Force.
Yeah.
Speaking of space, there is a comet that is going to be passing by. You heard about this?
I did.
There was a comet that they originally thought was an asteroid because it was so faint, and it is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. It's going to pass Earth, I think, at the end of the month.
Yeah, end of this month.
End of this month, comet C2022E3, and it takes 50,000 years to it takes 50,000 years to orbit the sun. So the last time that it passed Earth, only Neanderthals would have been around. Mm-hmm. Like it would have been like during a glacial ice age period. And and that to me is just wild. It's like,
it is amazing.
It is that better that, name for it.
Before that is.
So, it'll be just bright enough to see with the naked eye. So it's basically gone from like 17th magnitude, which is even fainter than like the moons of Pluto, to now, I think Pluto is like 14th magnitude, to now, I think they're expecting it to be around magnitude 6, which smaller number or more negative number is brighter. Don't ask me why, I didn't correct the system. and so that's exactly bright enough to see with the naked eye. And so it will be that when it passes.
Tail?
Cool.
Yes, we'll be able to see a tail. We can already with telescopes kind of see a tail, but the tail will get more enhanced as it gets closer. Yes. Don't worry, people listening at home, this comet will not hit us. I think at closest it will be it'll be about a third of the way of the distance to the sun. So it's basically going to be like 10 times, no, 100 times further than the moon. So do not worry. We will be fine.
I feel like there is a small demographic of people out there that are like, oh,
something I don't understand.
Look, if you have the urge to wear white tennis shoes and get Kool-Aid or something like that, just say no.
Just say no to the Kool-Aid.
Have you seen that Saturday Night Live skit with Will Ferrell? It was great.
Oh, God.
I'll have to look that one out, too.
Oh, it's fantastic. I'll send it to you guys later.
What else do we have to look forward to? Is there anything else? There's a total eclipse happening.
Two eclipses.
Oh, there are. Okay.
But wait, yeah. Two total eclipses?
One total, and you're going to get that one in Australia.
Yeah.
There's going to be a.
Yeah, because 2024, there's going to be two in the United States.
Total eclipses in the United States in 24, but there's going to be a Ring of Fire eclipse here in the in North America in October. So.
Valley of Fire, Ring of Fire, like what?
Ring of Fire. This show is hot.
Yeah, I was gonna say either the astronomers have a thing with
Johnny Cash. You
know, yeah, something or I don't know. Yeah, I had a worse joke in my head. I'm gonna let that one slide.
The one in Australia is going to be a total eclipse, and it will be passing by one of the most remote regions of Australia, passing through like this tiny sliver of land. Unlike the one, and this is in April 20th this year, but the one next year in 2024, which is also I think March April time in the US, is going to be passing all the way through the Northeast. It will be visible by so many people, and I am very keen to get out there because, take it from me, a total solar eclipse is a totally different experience, no pun intended, to a partial eclipse. It is just magical.
Yeah.
And
I would love to see it.
Yeah.
I do believe they intentionally planned it this way, but it happens to happen around the Yuri's Night celebration, which will be held in Houston.
I thought for a second you meant they planned the eclipse this way.
Oh, yes, they did. Yeah. Have you seen that meme where it's like, you please reschedule this eclipse because my child can't make it to the...
It shouldn't be on a school day.
Yeah. No, they... But Yuri's Night, which is an annual party for all the space nerds, is right around the same time as this eclipse. So it's definitely going to be like... we're talking about 23, not 24, but 24, just keep it on your radar, is going to be like, that's going to be an epic space party. Epic. Well, do you, gentlemen, have any, I mean, does it have to be space related or not? Did you have any resolutions for this year? What are your intentions for 2023?
Apart from getting more Lego?
you're at a good start so far.
Yeah.
You got a new Lego set yesterday. Oh, and we didn't talk about it. And you got the little periodic table with the little elements inside. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I got some nice little holiday gifts to up my nerd cred. I got a little periodic table that's in plexiglass or something. And then in the periodic table, every little square has an itty bitty little teensy weensy sample of that element. Supposedly, I can't open it and test it, but
which is
but supposedly
somebody who's trusted you with uranium.
I give, you know, is it love if you're not giving your partner potentially hazardous gifts? That's, I'm just saying. Benjamin, it sounds like
you might die. Sorry.
Just don't put it in your mouth. You'll be fine. So, Benjamin, it sounds like your intention for 2023 is to continue to nerd up.
Yes.
Level up the nerdum.
Yes.
Javi.
My intention is to officially start and dive into my PhD. And I have two papers that I think are pretty exciting, astrophysics papers that I'm working on, and I want to publish them. I need to publish them. We must publish them. We must do it. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, and I'm resolved to do real science this year. That is my
real resolution.
Go get him, dude.
Well, thank you, everyone listening. Thank you for joining us on this, you know, start of our season 2 of the Space Case Sarah Show. And 2023, we have so much that we're going to get to cover and talk about. And we're going to try to play more trivia games and hopefully bring on more people for Space for Good, because I love that segment. And it just, you know, who knows what else we're going to start trying to toss into the routine, because I about. Well, you guys are fun. So exactly. We like to have fun. So this is fun. It's fun. Thank you again for listening. I am Space Case Sarah. We have Kavi from Fun Fact Science, Benjamin from Science, Actually Science, depending on your platform. We are through iRock Space Radio, and stay tuned. We got plenty of episodes to come for 2023. Thank you again. You are listening to the Space Case Sarah Show here on iRock Space Radio.